Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This week was brutal as far as the work week. I was too tired and I had to mow the grass yesterday, and the day I usually record, I decided to look at previews, which usually takes me the first go through is about 2 to 3 hours, and it's across three or four different magazines now, so you get the previews, which hasn't gotten any smaller. They've added a lot of manga to the book, and I'm not into that, so I skipped that section. And so I usually read the previews first, which doesn't include DC and Marvel. It does have Image, even though Image has its own insert, and I go from there. This month is gonna be sort of brutal, and I've had requests for me to discuss my DCBS order on one of these episodes. I've been thinking about it, but I don't know if it'll be too boring. I don't know how it'll work. It takes me about 2 or 2 hours to, well, an hour and a half to 2 hours to place my order, depending on how I do it. I usually just rack and stack everything, and then I'll go do a go round at the end before I send it, and that's when I usually start taking out books that I might want to bring the cost down or whatever, or to make the quantity a little more reasonable. But it's not the full cuts or additions, because even after that process is done, then I usually have a week or two where I can edit the order, and during that week there's some removes, but it's mostly ads, because I'll be in the bathroom, I'll be honest, that's my bathroom book previews, and I start going through it like it with a fine-tooth comb, like I'm like, oh yeah, this I didn't see, this book was here. Like last I think I found a book last month, which was in the Hermes section, which does a lot of like Phantom and comics like that, you know, collections of the different eras. They did a pre-World War I book that I bought. They do a lot of different stuff. And this one, they had DC Comics history before Superman. And I don't know a hell of a lot of that. I know from like a lot of what, you know, from Superman on to that point. So it should be really interesting. And then this week I think I don't remember exactly what it was, but I found another one just like that, just combing the previews. And man, is it an omnibus month. Marvel has, I mean, there's three omnibuses that I want. I think I'm only going to get two. And one of them's Conan the Barbarian. Really excited to see that in omnibus format. And it's the Marvel version of that. So it's volume one. Look forward to that. And then there were four Epic collections, and they're starting West Coast Avengers now. So that'll be interesting. A lot of cool stuff. DC, I didn't see too many collected editions that I'm going after, but there was a couple of follow-ons that I was gonna get. We'll see how all that pans out. But Nick and Aaron said that it'd be interesting to see what like an order is. And I don't want to do a video. That would be really extremely boring. I'd rather do try to audio and then comment on things as I'm going through it. I'm not that good looking to look at for 2 hours. That'd be pretty boring. Me and the screen. I recently made a purchase from Aaron Myers, which I've gotten some books from in the past. And I got a full run of Warlock Volume 1. And I already had his Marvel premiere stuff. I think his first appearance is either in Thor or FF, and I don't have that. But I've become a Warlock fan over the years. He never appealed to me that much, even when I first read Infinity Gauntlet. He sort of gained momentum with me during the Annihilation years and everything that happened beyond it. Matter of fact, that's when space started to matter more to me. Before then, I got my Silver Surfer fix in Defenders, so there was some space adventures there. And Fantastic Four, because they would always go into space and the Negative Zone and stuff like that. But I never really got into the characters. Like, I don't own a lot of Volume 1 Silver Surfer, and then when they launched in the 90s, I started to follow it. I was getting everything at that time. When the comics books were about 60 cents, I was getting Surfer. I don't remember a lot of it, but it's something to revisit at some point. But Annihilation for me is in terms of space. It got me very vested in the characters. Quasar was another series that I really enjoyed when I was younger, but I didn't get into it until there was a crossover, believe it or not, with Avengers, I think it was. And I can't remember. It was like Intergalactic Conquest, or I can't remember what the title of the crossover was. But that was real interesting. And Mark Grunwald wrote it too, so that was another draw for me, but I was late to that, and that's probably another series I'll be looking to talk about. But I got a full run of Volume 1. It's 15 issues, somewhat expensive. Good run. It was a good pickup for me. I also placed another order to mycomicshop.com, and I think it completes some of my run and gets me closer to another run and then starts me on another run, but I don't want to go on about that yet until I get the order. So it'll be coming up in another Mike Gems Weekly Reads. And that's kind of what the purchases. Haven't read a lot this week or last week, but I did get caught up on the Batman because I was very concerned that I'd be spoiled on the wedding. So I got caught up on the Batman title, and I was very surprised. I really enjoyed it. Especially the Booster Gold arc, I really enjoyed. And then after that, when Joker was found out he didn't get an invite to the wedding, everything after that I really enjoyed. The Poison Ivy arc before that, I liked some concepts, but the dialogue again was killing me. And throughout this, like, Tom gets the best artists. Like, there's no question about it that I don't think I've ever been let down in terms of art quality. The only problem I usually have with it is some of the dialogue. It takes me out of the story, and it's really hard to get back in. But the last few issues, I haven't had that problem. I didn't have that. At least I didn't notice a lot of the repetition of words over and over again. And maybe it's because there was a lot of Joker talking and he talks coherently, whereas Batman and Catwoman just say single words over and over again. It drives me fucking nuts. But I really enjoyed it. And it got me to read all the preludes to the wedding, which I had, and those were really good. We had Robin and Catwoman, so it showed the relationship between Selina and Damian going forward. I enjoyed that. There was a Red Hood and Anarchy. That was my favorite. I really liked that one. Red Hood's been solid, and he's kind of paid to protect by Batman, paid to protect Selina on her bachelor night. And during these books, you're kind of questioning, well, is it Selina that's having the thing, or is Bruce getting married with Selina? And one of the issues, and I don't know which one it was, kind of clarifies that. It flat out says it's Batman marrying Catwoman, and we couldn't have Bruce marry Selina because that just wouldn't work. Well, that That plays very interesting too. So we'll see how that goes. But I enjoyed all those preludes. They were Batman Prelude to the Wedding. I better pull up my database in case I need it. I don't think you'll hear the sound. But when you enter Comic Base and it says loading and checking discs, it makes this awesome sound. It plays this like heavenly music, like before it comes up, and then it loads it, and usually loads the last comic book you were at. So I read that. I got caught up in Man of Steel, but I don't want to say anything about it other than it's been spectacular because we're going to be covering that. Me and Kyle will be covering that on a DC Spotlight coming up when Man of Steel wraps up. The thing that really surprises me with Man of Steel is that it's managed. I thought it would be more Bendis in the Marvel voice. Like, I didn't know he could speak DC lingo, but I think he's adapted really well. Like, he feels like he's been writing for DC forever, and I don't notice a difference. And I have to go get my water, so I'm gonna cut in front of the TV because I'm thirsty. And what else have I got caught up? I read a one-shot Dread that was really good. It was a sequel in some. I think they've had a couple of these to the what to the movie, the second Judge Dredd movie. So it deals with a techie that worked for Mama, and you remember Mama was the major villain of the Judge Dredd movie, and that was really good. But I also have a lot of questions, so I'm gonna. Oh, and I have some a couple other things I just want to point out. Tap Dance Killer, Apama from Hero Tomorrow Comics. Those are really good. Like, really, they surprised the hell out of me. I also read some more Peekaboo, A Skyward, and Survival Fetish. Absolutely fantastic books. Really into them. And I've kind of been getting. Oh, there was a the other what prelude. What one of the other preludes was Batgirl and Riddler. And that one was interesting because it seemed like Edward Nygma was getting kind of aroused with Barbara in this whole aftermath of the wedding thing. So these preludes are Joker pretty much telling a bunch of people, like everybody he knows, that hey, Batman's getting married. What do you think of this? And it deals with Ra's al Ghul finding out, and knowing that Talia's his daughter, and deals with Anarchy finding out. I've always been sympathetic to Anarchy. I don't know why, but even though he's a I've never liked anarchists, like to turn things into chaos. He seems to do that from time to time and not always be a hero, even though I think his motivations are always good in some form. And then Riddler, and I can't remember the third one, but I'm gonna look it up now because my database popped up. I gotta read that Immortal Hulk. I've heard so many good things. That's what came up first. Prelude or Batman. It's Batman colon preludes to the wedding. It was Harley. Oh, Harley versus Joker hasn't come out yet. That's this week. I think it came out this week. Nightwing and Hush, and that was really good because Hush has always been jealous of Bruce, and he finds out, and Nightwing has to go after him. There's some really good dialogues in there. He says something to like Hush is like, okay, Riddler riddles, Joker jokes, but Hush, you don't shut the fuck up. And I just loved how he said that to him. I thought that was great. Let's get into some questions. Before we get into the weekly reads, and I usually take a break and separate the two segments, but I'm going to knock one out. I'm going to knock 2 weeks out of the weekly reads, and before I get to the questions, and here's some of the questions from Martin, and I think this was based on HeroesCon. Like, I hadn't gotten to these questions, but I collected them. He said, "What's next on your list of key books to get?" Well, at the con, I bought the first Jonah Hex, and that was coincidence because I saw it and I knew I needed it, and it got me one issue away from having every single Jonah Hex, every single volume, including Hex. The only thing that I wouldn't have involving Jonah Hex would be even the hardcovers and the Vertigo titles. I have them all. The only thing I wouldn't have is he had a three-run Blue Digest. And if you remember what the Digest size, they're a little like the Archie Digest that you see at the grocery store. DC Comics had Blue Ribbon Digests. And I did pick up some fairly recently, about a year ago, because Adventure Comics went into Digest form, and I had to complete a run of Adventure Comics at least to 1973. And I think I'm close there. I think I'm missing a few Supergirls, but that might be pre-1973. I'll have to check that out. As far as key, I bought two Black Hawk issues. Those weren't key necessarily. I did buy another key. It was, and I've been posting about this one lately, trying to find a good deal on it at a condition that I thought was acceptable. It was a Superboy and the first appearance of Ultra Boy, and that's what I was really targeting, is I've been targeting a lot of first appearances of the Legion of Superheroes lately. So that's another rabbit hole I've been going down. I went down this Warlock purchasing, and I think it's going to lead me to complete. I don't have a full run of Warlock Chronicles or Warlock and the Infinity Watch. So it might lead me down that path. I'm not sure what'll happen. The Tom DeFalco interview on the Marvel Ultimate, the Marvel Epic Collection podcast got me to start looking at Spider-Man issues. Even though I'm reading them digitally, I want to have the issues. I've been on a Spider-Man kick lately. Like, I don't know, I go through phases, and it seems like I've been wanting to read a lot of Spider-Man lately. So, I think there's like four runs I'm completing with the next My Comic Shop purchase, but I want to make sure that comes in and everything that I ordered comes in before I announce what those completions are. What else? He says, "Are any books you need to complete a run you may never e be able to get because of price or availability?" Of course, I'll never have Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing Fantasy number 15. I'll never have Action Comics number 1 or Detective Comics 27, I think is the issue, or all of the Police Comics or the Golden Age. There's a lot of Golden Age. I've been trying to purchase at least one at every con. I would love to have the first appearance of Plastic Man, the first appearance of the Ray, the first appearance of Black Condor, the first appearance of Uncle Sam, the first appearance of Phantom Lady, and Doll Man. That would be awesome, but they're quite expensive in good shape. I'd love to have the first appearance of Captain Marvel. I love that DC acquisition characters. I don't know, I got a thing for him. And it would be nice to have the first appearance of Deadshot. I've only seen that book once at a con, and it was in the thousands. So I that's a little bit out of my range. Maybe someday, but I think once you hit the $1,000 range, it's out of, like, for one book, unless it's like something I run into that I know is an extremely good grab. I probably won't get it. But you never know. Never say never with me. I never thought I'd be spending a lot on a single issue that I have been like getting first appearances and stuff, and I am, so you never know. So thank you, Martin, from Comic Talk Today, which comes out almost every day. Give it a listen. And then we have Ronnie from several podcasts on the Nerdy Legion. Absolute DC Podcast, the Ultimate Marvel Podcast, the Timey Wimey, I think, podcast, which is Doctor Who, a wrestling podcast. I think he did Open Bar, but I don't even know if that's still going on. A lot of podcasts that he does. He says, how long does it generally take you to add a book to your database so that you know you ha now have it? It takes seconds. So like with the Warlocks, I can add them all in. You could highlight the whole 15 issues and just say edit quantity 1, and then you could say globally what that, like let's say if you got all fine, then you can adjust them all to fine. But if you have conditions that go like fine, very good, you'll have to individually go through it. But in order to do 15 issues, it's probably like less than a minute. In new comics, it's just scanning them. So it's like if you're at the grocery store and you're scanning the barcode in, that's as fast as you could get them in the database. So usually you get like 50 books a week and you just go bloop, 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 and then you hit commit and it goes into the database. You hear a little ching, and that means it got there. And then it's committed to the database. And because the comics are new, you could just say, it's brand new, very fine, whatever it comes in at, near mint. Use the default grade. If you have to grade, it might take longer because the grade that you bought it at and the grade that you think it is might be slightly different. So you gotta inspect it a little bit. So it depends on how much effort I want to put in at the time. But it's pretty fast. It's faster than any other database I know. I know that one of them has a barcode scanner, so that's probably fast as well. So thank you for that question. Can be from HeroesCon purchases or DCBS boxes. Yeah, I kind of talked about both of them. DCBS is just scan. Sometimes it takes longer for the hardcover stuff and the trades. They're also in the database, but sometimes the comics are usually always there. Like it has to be something weird that you'd have to manually enter. Like if you were to go down Artist Alley and you see like a Luke Foster book, like Spooky Town, that was never solicited or has a barcode or it wasn't by previews, so it's not in the database, and you have to actually go to the database itself and say comics, new title, and then you tell it the publisher, and then you add issues essentially once you got that title to it, and then you could put in information in the field, like you'd say writer Luke Foster, artist Luke Foster, colorist Luke Foster, editor Luke Foster. You put that one's easy. Sometimes the Epic collections aren't in there. There was a good streak there for a while where they were all in there, and now I'm going through another streak where the collected editions are falling behind again in the weekly update. The comics are always there. It's the collected editions that are not always there. And those ones take a while to enter because you do the same thing. You add titles. So like if it's a brand new Epic collection, you'd say like add title, and then you'd look at the indice and find out what the title really is. It's usually like Iron Man Epic Collection. That's what it would be, or Thor Epic Collection, or let's just say it was the Thor Epic Collection Volume 5 was the first volume to come out. And there's many artists across one of those volumes, and many writers, and many inkers. And I'm usually too lazy to enter in the inkers and the letters, so I just focus on the writers and the artists. And I'll enter those in, and once I've entered them in, I will say submit to Comic Book Base, and then it goes off. And one of the other things you could do if it's not in the database already is it's got a field for UPC scan code. And what I usually have is my barcode reader, and I scan it in. And somehow that barcode reader, I've never paid attention how it has some metadata in it. It's mostly price. But it'll update the price for you automatically so you don't have to enter it in. And I don't usually bother with like there's all kinds of fields in there. Like you could put in there what you paid for it and what it's worth. Like the worth will always be tracked by comic book base and come in at their value. It's a little more conservative than Overstreet. And what I mean by that is if you look up a something in comic base, it's usually less than what you see in Overstreet, so a little under market, but that's kind of good. It gives you a ballpark of where you think things are. But yeah, that feature is really cool. And then it's got another feature where you could this is the part I'm too lazy about, and I'm almost to go like Campbell-esque and Hassan-esque and just carry a little black book in my back pocket and just scratch out books that I'm targeting. Because I've been too lazy to upload. What you could do is you could run a report, and you could generate a PDF and then take a PDF of just missing issues with you. Or you could take that PDF and upload it to the Comic Base server and then access it versus the website. But if you do it that way, and don't go with a PDF or a print copy, then chat. There's a probability that whoever your cell phone person is, at some of the conventions, you can't get cell phone coverage. I've been lucky because when I buy a comic at a comic store, I'm not afraid to pull out my phone. When I bought Judge Dredd, I went and looked. I went to eBay. I looked at some of what things sold at. I went to Atomic Avenue, which is Comic Bases. So Comic Base also allows you to sell your comic books, and it's linked to a thing called Atomic Avenue, and you can mark it for sale, and then it posts it, and then if they sell it, then obviously Comic Base gets a percentage of that. I don't know what it is, and you deal with the shipping just like you would eBay and all that stuff. So it also has a way to sell your books through Comic Base. Yeah, there's a lot of features. I think I recorded a video on it on Facebook, but I haven't done one in a while. Maybe I'll do one of those sometime, a video just going over what this stuff looks like. What else does Every week you can go check for updates. You could say internet check for updates and it downloads the weekly comic books. You can right click on one and say find in Atomic Avenue, like you want to buy an issue. It'll take you to that what it is if someone's selling it on Atomic Avenue. It downloads all the covers along with all the metadata for all the books that come in through Diamond that week. So there's a lot of cool stuff, and then you could change a lot. You could query on almost anything you ever freaking wanted on the metadata. There's notes fields, there's adaptable fields so you could track. This one I wish I would do, but I'm too lazy. But you could I put a place like, okay, this exists in box DC-5. So maybe that's your if you ever wanted to find that comic book, you can go back and look at DC-5. I think that Bob Breitel, who owns the Guinness Book of World Records, I think that's what he did. And so when the Guinness Book of World Records auditor came to audit his collection, and he couldn't have duplicates. So like let's say if he had 10 copies of X-Force One, that is not included. Only one copy is included for the Guinness Book of World Records. You couldn't have multiple copies. Although you probably could have the Guinness Book of World Records for owning the most single issue of one copy. So if you had, oh, I have 10,000 copies of the first appearance of Deadpool. I want to email the Guinness Book of World Records and say, Well, I have this record. Are you interested? And they say, yeah. Then they'll come to your house, do all their spot checks and stuff like that, and say, okay, you're in the Guinness Book of World Records. And I remember walking at a Costco one day, and there was a cool Guinness Book of World Records update book with a lot of pictures, and it just said, hey, here's a lot of world's records that have been made in the last, 5 to 10 years, and Bob Rietal was there. I said, that's pretty cool. I took a picture of it and sent it to him, and he said, yeah, he was aware that they had put it into the Guinness Book of World Record book. But it's really helpful for that. You could search note columns. You can query on first appearances. So, like, if I want to know the first appearance of somebody, I could run a query on it. Yeah, you could sell comics. You could have different styles and fonts on the way it's this stuff is presented to you. You can trend the market data. You can do a report on the total value of your collection and how many of each publisher you have, which is I always r love to run that. And if every time I run it, I'm amazed how much DC shit I have. Like, it surpasses any other publisher. I mean, Marvel's obviously second, but and even though I have all the Valiant stuff, they're just it's just not enough to get close. But it's good for tracking. Like, if you're a completist on a publisher, you can go select, give me all the comic books for this publisher, and that's how I complete my run. So I'll like go find Milestone. That's how I completed my Milestone run, how I completed my Ultraverse as I searched on it. And then I said, well, what if I want to complete Malibu books? And then I went down that rabbit hole outside of the Ultraverse. And I'm doing it now, sort of, but not in an aggressive pace for Atlas. So it's another dead universe I've been getting. I did it for Valiant when I needed to back in the day. And I was always tracking those last issues of Harbinger, no, what was it? It was a Shadow Man number 6 that was really expensive. Armorines number 3, and it was always telling me, hey, you think you have all the Valiant, but you don't have these Turok magazines that came out. And I went out and purchased the Turok magazine. So then I said, ha ha ha, laugh now. I have all the Valiant. I don't have all the variants. I've never been a variant guy, but have been buying variant. Sometimes I'm a sucker for Red Sonja. You give me a good Red Sonja now that they have Elvira, I will get multiple covers of that. I usually get the cosplay cover just because I'm collecting all the cosplay, and then I'll pick one or two of the regular. But if I could, I would just get all of them. And the DC covers I've been getting a lot because I find them unique because they're not putting the logo on it, and it just looks like a big, nice piece of art. So I've been doing that with Batman Detective. I'm going to do it with Catwoman. And there's a few others that I've been doing it for. And I've been pleased with those covers. So I have been getting some variants. Even though I'm not a variant guy, never say never. Let's see. Did I answer that question? I think I beat that question to the ground, but if you have any more specific questions, give me a call. And then you have backups. You could save your comic book database locally and snapshot your own backups in case something happens. You'll always have your database. If you lose your software, you just reload the software and then hook it up to your database. And all your covers are on your local PC too. So you have all the covers. If you're missing a cover for some reason, like you didn't download, you can right click on it and say download cover. If it's available, it'll download. Usually almost every cover is available, unless it's something really, really, really obscure. What else do I have to say about that? Oh, you can also save a copy of the database. There's a thing called Sidekick that you can run in the background. I chose not to run it because it was kind of slowing down my PC, but what it does is you can select times to update to the server, so it'll back up your software to the server. It'll upload things that you have for sale to the server at a certain time. It'll do all kinds of stuff like cron jobs that you would say in Unix or background scheduler tasks in Windows. That's what it sort of does for you. And it also will automatically back up your database, not just to back up your database locally, but it'll back up your database to their server. So you have like a storage of your database at all times in case something happens for contingency purposes. So it's really quite a nice feature. If you have multiple people in your family that have collections, you can track that. There's things in file. You can watch videos. It stores videos of a lot of stuff. It's called movie previews. A lot of interviews with creators. It has that stuff. There's so many things in there. Maintenance tools are also available on Comic Base. You can compact and verify your database. I do that almost every week. Sometimes it does it for you, but as you make all these queries and stuff, it'll like cache stuff like just like a database would, and the size of your database grows when it does that, and it does that for faster access. And sometimes you'll need to rebuild it just to shrink the size of your database again and make it more manageable. So when it does do an update, it's fast. If you don't, it'll go really slow. So I do a compact and verify database every week, if not more than once a week. Sometimes I'll just do it every day. Rebuild lists. It'll actually rebuild lists if something happens and your links break. It'll rebuild them. You can reset your comic book base preferences to the base because there's a lot of like colors and fonts and stuff you can change it into. And Launch Database Manager launches a tool to scan your drives for comic book database files if you didn't know where they were, and it show you where your active files are. So there's a lot of file tools available. Hundreds of reports you can run on your collection. Add comics to inventory under batch. That's how you use the barcode scanner, and you just go bloop, 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 bloop. And that's how you could sell comics too, as you scan them out, you could scan them in. So that's about it. So having said that, let's go to the next question from Nick. Which hero or villain would you like to be their sidekick? Not Batman, because I've seen how he treats his sidekicks. Not very good. Cap would be okay, but man, there's a lot of dangerous shit that goes on. There is a comic book that Rick Veitch put out one time, and I'm trying to think out what it is. It's being solicited by IDW recently. Oh, it's called a Brat Pack. And if you're into sidekicks, you should check it out. I bought this. It's black and white. I bought this back in the day. It's an old comic book, but it came out about the time comics were getting really dark. Let's see what it says about Brat Pack. It was released in 1991, and then there was another issue in 2003, and I imagine those are the collected editions. And I don't have the full run, believe it or not. I have 1, 2, 3, and 5. So at some point, I should pick up number. Wow, that's a weird cover. It's like a woman's crotch with. It looks like she's got somebody's ball sack strapped to her belt in issue 4. And issue 5 is like a teenage kid injecting testosterone and other stuff into his butt, because he's a sidekick and needs to have powers. Issue 3 on the cover shows like bullet wounds and stuff that this young kid got because he's a sidekick. Issue 2 is just very strange. It looks like one of those GIMP masks, and outside of the GIMP, the tongue is coming out of it. And issue 1 is my favorite. It's got somebody like a sidekick just shaving his legs and cutting his leg shaving. So that's like a shout out to Robin. And in the background on the toilet, you see band-aids all over the place. But that's by writer Rick Veitch, and artist is by Rick Veitch. So if you have you want to seek this out, it's from King Hell. It's called The Brat Pack. And there's a new release coming out from IDW. It's a collected edition. So it's talking about sidekicks, and you see how I just ramble off just about a bunch of crap, and I haven't even answered the question. Who would I want to be the sidekick for? I think Captain Marvel would be a great one just because he's always positive. Plaz, I think it would be a blast. I could be his Woozy Weeks. I'm pretty fat. I could fit into that role. Superman, possibly, but I'd rather be Shazam's. I'd rather be in the Fawcett City if I was a sidekick. Seems like there's a lot of sidekick and generational stuff in DC, and in Marvel, it's not so much. I mean, it's there, but it's just not. It doesn't have like that legacy vibe from generation to generation to generation. So I'll just say Plaz, because of things are sunshine and bubbles usually around Plaz, and Captain Marvel and Fawcett City, you know, you'd have your eyes, bright future, bright hope. I think that's where I choose to be. In a more optimistic setting than a doom and gloom, I could die at any moment setting if I was to be a sidekick. Nick's next question, and he's also the co-host for Nerdy Legion with Martin, so my favorite podcast, by the way. There is no one that compares to Nerdy Legion. That's my shit right there. I like listening to it. Does the comics you read before bed influence your dreams? Not really. I work influences my dreams. I dream about code and stuff all night. And sometimes I have dreams, but they're usually in the form of not good dreams. Every now and then I'll have a good positive dream, but man, it's once in a blue moon. So I don't dream about comics too much. I wished I did. Which here, sometimes a horror comic will get me to dream about it, but like if I read something optimistic that or positive and light, it doesn't usually cause me to dream about something in that universe. Which hero or villain needs a makeover, a revamped origin, a new costume, etc.? I think we're in a mode right now where we've just gotten back from makeovers. And we're going back to the cycle where let's go back to what Superman is, what Batman is, what Green Lantern is, what Iron Man is, what Spider-Man is. Let's relaunch everything with number ones again and get the Avengers to be really what, like the Avengers, the Justice League to be like the Justice League. I would say right now I'm in the mode that the market is heading towards. Like I'm ready for less revamps and more going back to basics because I just got back. I love revamps. I just like the cycle and I like that things are going back to normal. So my answer is I can't think of any that I'd want to be revamped at this point. At least not. I like the evolution of heroes. I like for them to change. And right now we're changing back, and it doesn't bother me. And I think it's good timing. What was the first comic series you found titillating? What is titillating, Barb? Is that like erotic, like excited, but is it got like an erotic connotation to it? I think of tits when I hear titillating. What was the first comic series you found titillating? Exciting. Oh, I'll tell you one that I just looked at previews that got me real excited. Two of them. And they were in the IDW section, believe it or not. I am excited to read some Dick Tracy again. They're bringing back Dick Tracy number one from IDW. And I got really into Dick Tracy when the movie came out with Madonna and man, it had Al Pacino. It had so many actors in there. And I actually bought the Playmates toys that went along with them. And I started buying some odds and ends Dick Tracy comics from the past. And I'm looking, I find it titillating that we're going to see him in his rogues gallery at IDW again. Exciting. I was very excited once I found out what it was, that there's a shadow, the death of Margot Lane was original content. I was thinking that I've already read it and they were just doing a collected edition of it. But I saw that it was from Dynamite and was original content. And I was really excited for it. So that was really exciting. I was very excited, even though it's past tense, that Hawkman was coming back and Plastic Man was coming back. Those are very titillating. I'm happy that the Max is coming back. The Max I started with originally, like I think I got the first 10 issues, and it wasn't real at the time. It wasn't hitting me, like it was so weird. And then just recently I started getting the IDW Maximized, which were kind of like reconstructed the Max series again, and I fell in love with it. And I watched the MTV special, watched it from beginning to end, and almost like two sittings because I liked it so much. So I'm excited for the Batman Max. I find that titillating. I'm excited to see the Fantastic Four come back. Really excited for that. Let's see what else. There's so many things, but I think those are the major things that I'm looking forward to. I tend to skew to the obscure characters rather than another Superman or Batman title, or any of the major Marvel characters. I tend to skew towards the obscure. Like, well, I wish there was. I'll find titillating if they get into a 50s comic, or sorry, not a 50s, but a 40s. World War II, or World War I comic book. I'd be really excited for that. The new imprints from DC, they have me interested, but not I'm not too titillated about it. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of every time I look at previews, there's something titillating. Kirk asks, what the heck is the Dynamite Comics Atari Force collection? Well, they have an Atari Force collection, at least of the mini comics, and they promised us one of the Garcia Lopez, Jerry Conway series, but that's been a long time. I don't know what they're doing, and I don't know how long they're going to hold on to the license, because they had Centipede, a comic book which I really enjoyed, and they had Sword Quest, and I'm just waiting for them to launch Yar's Revenge or something to keep that line going, because those were really enjoyable. I don't think they sold well, but I would be up for some Atari Force. I'd be very happy, or even if they just want to collect what was there, even though I have a full run of Atari Force, it'd be nice to have it in the collection. Dallo, the Valiant guy, says, although you're a mood reader, do you always have to finish the story arc before moving on to another book? Absolutely not. I switch. And then sometimes I forget about going back, and I don't go back until a year later. I am totally a mood reader. And that's the way I think I'll always be. And for me, that's what works. Why do you think I have so much 4 out of 5s and 5 out of 5s? It's not because I have to read them. I would have lower scores. It's because I'm in the mood for that. I know what I'm getting. Or could you stop reading a book mid-arc and come back to it when the mood returns? That's exactly what I do. I just wait till the mood comes back because I don't want to disrupt my enjoyment. I could switch. Aaron says, I'm curious. This is a weird because this was probably a response to a tweet, even though I copied it. Let me just get the context of it. Personally, deal with a comic book that starts and stops a very uneven release schedule. I think we were talking about delays, and it was something I posted about B Black Mask, and I wasn't really bothered with me because of I'm a mood reader anyway, and it doesn't slow me. I think it was a post I did on Survival Fetish number 2, and this came up, and he made a snarky comment. It's justified about Black Mask not being consistent with their release schedule. Totally true. And I can understand that, but it doesn't bother me because I buy so many comic books, I don't even freaking notice, to tell you the truth. It doesn't kill my enjoyment either. But I can understand that if I was buying 10 comic books and one of them kept on being late all the time, it might cause me to jump ship because I could afford 10 comic books and one of them fails to come out there. I'd rather fill it with something that comes regularly. But in my case, where I buy a lot of stuff, I'm not too affected by it. Like Doomsday Clock, I just not affected by it at all. I think I've read the first 2 issues, really enjoyed them, and I'm just kind of waiting for it to finish, like I did Dark Knight Metal, and I'll just read it all in one trade sitting. Even though I like singles better, I like to experience them sometimes in just some sequential order. So that's all the questions. I want to thank you. And Aaron is also on the Absolute DC podcast on Nerdy Legion. Dallo, I don't think, has a podcast. Kirk, I'd like to talk to on a podcast, but he says he's not tech savvy enough. But I would love to have him. I know what I would be asking him about collections on Mike M's Collector's Corner. It'd be focusing on war comics if I could ever get him on. And Nick, you could follow on Nerdy Legion, Ronnie on all those podcasts that I mentioned, and Martin on all of the Comic Talk Today and Nerdy Legion mostly. But he does a Gotham podcast and several others. Oh, he appears in Aftershock. He does an Aftershock podcast. If you ever want to check out Aftershock, Ronnie is on there with him. So check that out. I'm not going to close out, but I'm gonna rifle through some weekly reads, and there weren't a hell of a lot, so it'll take me no time at all. So this is from the week of September 11th, 2017, not the famous September 11th. To September 17th of 2017. And there were 14 total comics, not a lot that week. There were 3 Valiant, 6 Marvel, 1 IDW, 3 DC, and 1 Boundless. So this week was good week because I didn't give anything lower than a 4 out of 5. The 4 out of 5 starting at the bottom was First Strike number 2, and Colston teams with Destro to attack Cybertron. This is a Hasbro property line crossover, and I didn't plan on getting it, but I saw it at the shop and it turned out to be pretty doggone good. I haven't finished it yet, but I really enjoyed what I read, and I like what they did with Colston because they kind of made him a player in this, like a controversial player. Really interesting comic book. Colston, if you remember, is the original G.I. Joe. And he even makes an appearance in the second movie. So the next one is Angela, Asgard's assass Asgard's Asgard assassin. This is Angela that was created by Neil Gaiman inside of the Todd McFarlane book, And she even had her own comic book at Image, and now she's over at Marvel, and she's mostly been hanging out with the Guardians of the Galaxy and such. And this one is Angela steals the sister from Frigga and Odin. It's like putting her background in an Asgardian fashion. Thor and others following them to get the child back. So that's Angela at Asgard's assassin, a la Asgard. Death-defying Dr. Mirage, Second Life's number four. Wen and Sean trick Dennis DeWalt and trap him back in the scroll while freeing all the other ghosts. The one actor starts to show with Sean. There's an actor that's sort of playing her husband kind of thing, like her partner on a TV show. And he seems to be possessed by some evil being, but that was Death-Defying Dr. Mirage, Second Life's number four, the second volume of that from the New Valiant. We then have Harbinger Renegade number seven. This series I liked a lot, and I was kind of bummed out. It really never got to finish, at least in my eyes, it didn't. And this was a focus on the Renegades as Chris works to strengthen the team with more psyops. What else is that? They're hiding in an old Harada hideout that is shielded from the government right now. And that's about it for Harbinger Renegade number 7. We have World Finest Comics 207. This is an oldie. This is Clark Kent hires a bunch of goons to kill Superman. Clark does. Yeah, that's right. I said it. He seeks help from Batman to why he's blacking out and trying to murder someone. It is the magical staff that Dr. Light used to drain some magic from Zatanna and kill Superman. The goons use it to animate the Kryptonian leech lizard and try to kill Superman. Dr. Light comes to pay off the goons, but they want to keep the staff, so he kills them. This is a great story. Batman foils Dr. Light, and Superman is freed. It was by Len Wein. We then get into Detective Comics. Let me see if I can expand this just a little bit. Detective Comics 408. This is a Len Wein Wolfman. This is around the time he died, and I think I was focusing on a lot of Len Wein stories, and that's why I got World's Finest in Detective Comics. Batman is lured to a haunted mansion because he thinks Dick is dead. That's Dick Grayson, not his Dick, not his own Dick. Turns out to be Dr. Zin-Zin using an illusion to kill Batman for the League of Assassins. Batman and Robin capture Zin-Zin and find out he was an illusion and had escaped already. We then get into the last 4 out of 5. It was Lookers. Yep, that's right. I said from Boundless, Ember number 2. The Lookers are hired to find a video of Embers they don't want to be released to the public. The second story, they're hired to rescue a rich guy's daughter from a porn snuff film because they're killing the girls. And Lookers is by far my favorite Boundless title. It is the one that I'm going to continue on, even though there's a couple that I'm dropping. Harbinger, even though I was all in on that. Harbinger Renegade number 6. So that's the first 5 out of 5. A knight goes into an impossible battle to fight a demon. He completes his mission, but the demon implanted seeds that make him doubt his masters. This was a flashback story, and I don't even know if it ever completed. I think there's one issue of Renegade that I need to read and see if it wrapped up like a gazillion story threads. We have Batman 255. Anthony Lupus is a rich decathlete that has lycanthropy. That's the werewolf disease. And Professor Milo accelerates it to get revenge on Batman. The fight, it appears Batman though, appears Batman through a steel pole through his body and then stuck a lightning and thought dead. Oh, okay, so Batman stuck the werewolf guy on a steel pole and lightning struck it and he was thought dead, but he escaped and went to Alaska. Lupus was able to get Batman by telling Bruce Wayne if he showed up at his place, he would make a huge donation to help his taxes. But that is where he was drugged. Len Wein, Neil Adams on that particular story.
And the final one is Doctor Strange 4 through 7. This was the Jason Aaron run. Magic is being taken from the multiverse by an entity that lost his parents because they believed in science rather than magic. A bartender magician saves the day but is killed by Epperkill. And that's that week. And then we're going to go over real quick books from 9/18/2017 to 9/24/2017. And there were no 3 out of 5s there. It was all starts with 4 out of 5s. Good week. A total of 20 comics, one Oni, 16 Marvel, 3 DC. This is about the time I went on a Marvel kick on the DC Unlimited page, and you'll see all that come up in a second. We have Angela Asgard's Assassin 4 through 6. As unworthy Thor Odinson goes after Angela, they land in a haven where she throws a baby into a pit and burns off the surtur evil off the baby. Stars the Guardians of the Galaxy. She is burned bad, but is saved as she finds her friend. Sonya is the Dark Elf. So that was the first 4 out of 5. We have Detective Comics 444 through 446. Batman accidentally kills, or is thought to kill, Talia. While trying to find out who's behind this, he takes the gun to prison, and Ra's al Ghul commits suicide right in front of Batman. Batman fights with the Sterling Silversmith. We then get into Incredible Hulk 218 through 221. These were read directly from Marvel Unlimited. Doc Samson versus the Rhino, and Rhino is hired to take down a train. Bruce finds a job on the ship that is attacked by pirates, and then he meets up friends, a scientist who thinks he is Robinson Crusoe. That's right, Robinson Crusoe. The pirate is like a scavenger and is after the gamma radiation machine that devolves people, so it's about a devolver. Hulk and the apes defeat the pirates and then is picked up by Stingray. That's the Marvel character that's white and red. You'd know if you saw it. Hulk fights Stingray as Hulk thinks he has hurt his particular friend by Len Wein. We then have a Fantastic Four, 191 through 193. I believe these are Len Wein as well. After Reed loses his powers, he disbands the FF. He gives all his equipment to Shield, but they're disguised supervillain, the Plunderer. The Plunderer captures Reed, but he managed to set off an FF flare to defeat him. Sue gets a telegram from Willie Lumpkin to go to Hollywood. Johnny goes off to be in a race and with Wyatt Wingfoot and fights and defeats the Texas Twister. Thing gets a job with NASA, and Darkoath tries to stop him from getting a shuttle. Turns out his or one of Ben's longtime friends, Desmond Pitt. The shuttle crashes towards Earth as Diablo is siphoning the solar energy from the shuttle. I gotta get back to that. I think I took a good pause from the cause from that FF story arc. We got the Bunker 2. One of the friends plans out how he has to save people from a disaster he knows is coming and appears to have bad intentions. We have 4 out of 5 Invincible Iron Man Volume 3, 2 of 2 and 3. More background on Riri, as Stark Internationals was given Stark's real mother to run the company. We have Doctor Strange number 8 through 11. Magic is gone except for certain artifacts and the Ancient One skull. Doctor Strange manages to defeat Epperkill with the magical devices, and the creature of pain is in the basement. Epperkill locked in the basement to take the pain. Doctor Strange builds his library with Wong and Zelma. Very interested to see how he can eat and deals with the pain. Mordo is back and working with Dormo. I can never pronounce that word. Dormammu. We got Enter Nightmare as they attack Strange. So that's those weeks. I hope you enjoyed listening. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch and on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button or on this particular episode if you liked it. You can go to geekbrunchpodcast.com and follow all the episodes there on the website as well. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again very, very soon. I am about to hit the hay, so if I sounded like I was getting sleepy, it was because I was getting sleepy. I will talk to you later. Peace.